Well, last week as we were studying the book of Romans, we saw Paul sharing his heart of love and concern for that church in Rome. And he had a great desire to be with them. And he wanted to impart some spiritual truths to them to help to establish them as a foundation in their church. And not only did he want to go to impart some truths to them and to help them, but he also wanted to go to be encouraged himself, because he knew that church through what he had heard about their faith being spread out over the entire world. And he wanted to see that faith face to face, and he wanted them to minister to him as much as he wanted to minister to them as well. And you know, Paul said last time that he often tried to go to Rome, but he was hindered until now, and it looks like he's going to have the opportunity to go there and to minister to them and for them to minister to him as well. And he goes on there in verse 15 to say one of the reasons that he wanted to go there is because he was ready to preach the gospel in Romans 1 and verse 15. And this was the same gospel that he had told them about earlier in chapter 1 as that which he promised through the prophets. This gospel message, the gospel of God, was there in the Old Testament, in the Holy Scriptures. And we can look at that today because we have the full revealed Word of God. And in that, you can look in the Old Testament and you can see God's grace. You can see God's offer of salvation that was to the Old Testament people as well as the New Testament people today. And it was promised through the prophets in the Old Testament, Holy Scriptures. And that gospel, Paul said, contains the information about God's Son, Jesus Christ, through whom those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ have received God's grace and salvation, and they have received that apostleship to go out as a sent one to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. And it also includes being obedient to the faith. You live in obedience to the faith to make that message real, and you also share the gospel of Jesus Christ and that grace with a lost and dying world so they can come to faith and live in obedience to that faith as well. So Paul says, I'm ready to share that gospel with you who are in Rome as well. I'm ready to share with you the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and how to be born again by faith, and then how to live for Christ in obedience to that faith. And that's kind of where we left off last time, and where I want to pick it up in Romans chapter 1 in verse 16, in one of the most often quoted scriptures, probably next to John 3:16, that we hear so often, and rightfully so, because it is a powerful, powerful verse. Verse 16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greeks. Paul says he wasn't afraid to go anywhere and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. No matter what opposition that he would face, no matter what threats were made against him, he was never ashamed of that message that God had called him to share. Even though that message in Paul's day in the city of Rome, much like in our day, it is a stumbling block to many, and it is foolishness to others. That's what 1 Corinthians 1:23 says. But he was ready to share that, and he wasn't ashamed of it. As a matter of fact, he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." And then he says this, "Nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." Paul says, listen, don't you ever be ashamed of that message, even though it's going to cost you something, even though you're going to suffer for righteousness' sake, even though you're going to be persecuted. You have me as an example, Paul says. And boy, if you look at the life of Paul, you can see all that he suffered for the gospel of Jesus Christ, can't you? All the places he went where he caused riots, he was beaten, he was stoned to death. All of these things he was willing to go through for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, Timothy, don't you ever be ashamed of that. Matter of fact, he says in verse 12 of that same passage, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Why, Paul? For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him against that day. I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to go out and share it no matter what the cost, because it's been committed to me. And by the way, it's been committed to all of us who are born again believers, right? There's nothing to be ashamed about. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in Mark 8:38, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes." But sometimes we are ashamed, aren't we? We're ashamed of that message, to share that good news with people for whatever reason. We have the opportunity to share it, no matter what the cost, and it's not going to cost us very much, but sometimes we think it's going to cost us everything. We have the opportunity to speak and we don't. And part of the reason for that, and we certainly understand that, is because the gospel of Jesus Christ is an offensive message, isn't it? It's an intimidating message. It is a foolish message to a lost and dying world. And not only that, it exposes a person's sin. It talks to them about heaven, and it talks to them about hell and God's judgment. And to them, that doesn't sound like good news. It sounds like bad news. When some people hear the gospel, they react negatively to it. Or they may argue with it about it. They may argue with you about their own religious views. They may argue with you about their own self-righteous justification about why they think they're a good person. They don't need to hear that. Some people, when you share the gospel, you're afraid they may become angry or hostile with you. For whatever reason, sometimes we become afraid of people and thus ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Out of fear or intimidation, we become ashamed and we don't say anything. And so consequently, what some churches today do and some Christians today do is they share a different kind of gospel. They share the health, wealth, prosperity, non-judgmental, avoid sin, avoid the judgment and hell type of gospel that the world readily accepts. You can share that with any unbeliever and you can tell them that they're okay, that they're a good person, that everybody goes to heaven, that there's many ways to get there. The world is going to love you for that and they're going to take that all in. But that's the false gospel. That's why that passage that Gary read earlier in Galatians chapter 1, that was the problem, what was going on in the church at Galatia. He said to them, "I am surprised that you are so soon moved from the gospel of Jesus Christ to another gospel, which isn't a gospel at all." He said there are some people who would pervert the gospel of Christ with another gospel. And it really isn't. It is something to appeal to the lost and dying world to make something palatable for them. But there really is no other gospel, is there? One writer said this, "The unpopularity of the crucified Christ has prompted many to present a message which is more palatable to the unbeliever. But the removal of the offense of the cross always renders the message ineffective." Doesn't it? Because that's what saves somebody, as we're going to see. It is the power of the gospel message of the life, death, burial, resurrection, a return of Jesus Christ that changes the heart and soul. Paul's desire was to preach the gospel. And he knew what that gospel was. And he knew the cost to himself about sharing that. And he was willing to suffer that cost for the sake of Jesus Christ, as we saw in our Sunday school class. Paul knew that the gospel of Jesus Christ would save somebody. And he was willing to suffer whatever it took to put that gospel into somebody's hands and into somebody's ears, knowing that they could be changed by that. Because Paul knew what some people don't seem to understand today, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. That's what he says in verse 16 here. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? "For it is the power of God unto salvation." The gospel, the good news, that is the message that God uses to save someone from the wages of their sin, being hell and death. Paul says it is the power of God, the ultimate power. And by the way, that word power there in the Greek language in which the New Testament was written is the word dunamis. And it's where we get our English word dynamite from. It is only by God's explosive power of the gospel message that somebody can be saved. Because the scriptures make it very clear that no one can save themselves, either through good works, either through religious adherence, either through religious rituals, or by their own self-righteousness, their own goodness. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "You are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works." Why? Lest anybody should boast. And that's exactly what people do today when they think they're saved by a false gospel of self-righteousness or self-works. They say, "Well, I was baptized. I go to Sunday school. I go to church." All of these things, although those may be good things, they do not save you. It is the power of God unto salvation. That's why 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, listen to this, "For the message of the cross, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, the suffering that He went through, He bled and died for the sins of the world. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." You realize that? It is a foolish message to think that somebody can be saved by somebody who died on a cross 2,000 years ago. But let me tell you something, that is the message that will save a soul from hell. That is the only message. You can't add anything to that. That's why that verse goes on in 1 Corinthians 1:18 to say this, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Do you realize it was the power of God that saved you and you had no part in that? Because somebody told you about the gospel of Jesus Christ, you repented of your sin, you put your trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross. That was the power of God working in your life. Matter of fact, Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 23 and 24, "But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews it's a stumbling block, and to the Greeks it's foolishness. To the unsaved people, especially to the Jew who is not saved, it is a stumbling block because they are caught in their ritualistic system. They're still waiting for the Messiah. It's foolishness to them. It's a stumbling block to them. Unless God opens up their heart to the true gospel message, that's what it will be until they die." But not only that, it says to the Greeks, it's foolishness. To every other Gentile, every other person who is unsaved, the message of the cross is foolishness. And I know that's why sometimes you don't want to share it, because you think it is too sometimes. And you become ashamed of that when you think it's just nothing more than the simple gospel message. I have to do something. I have to add something. No, you don't. You just simply trust the gospel message and the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God that's like dynamite going off in the soul of an unbeliever to bring them to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, "To the Jews it's a stumbling block and to the Greeks it's foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Even when they think it's foolishness, even when it's a stumbling block, when God has called them, He will open up their heart to hear the truth, and that power of God will penetrate their soul and bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Whether it's a young child in a good news club or the oldest person sitting in the church that hears that gospel message and God opens up their heart for the first time, that's the power of God. You know, God said through the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 26 and verse 5, "I have made the earth. I have made man on it. I have made the beasts that are on the ground by my great power." Do you realize God spoke everything into existence? By His mere word, He brought everything that is today. But I have to tell you this, that kind of power pales in comparison to the power that brings someone to salvation, that transforms their very nature and being and gives them eternal life through Jesus Christ, that delivers them from death and hell. That is the ultimate power of God displayed in the gospel message that He has given to you and to me to share with a lost and dying world. And yet so many times we're ashamed of that, aren't we? By the way, when somebody is saved by the power of the gospel message, then they are saved or delivered or have that salvation. That means deliverance. They are delivered from something to something. And Scripture says the power of the gospel message is the message of salvation that delivers, as Matthew 1:21 says, delivers you from sin. That power also delivers you from darkness and Satan, Acts 26:17 and 18 says. The message and the power of the gospel message also saves you from God's wrath to come, Romans 5:9 says. That gospel message and the power it contains also preserves you and saves you from everlasting destruction, 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9 says. But we have to be very clear here. That promise of the power that can change a heart and soul at the end of Romans 1:16 says it is only for those who believe. It is not a blanket thing for everybody who has ever lived like some people teach today. There must be a transformation of your heart and a, by faith believing that gospel message and the power that it contains. It is only for those who believe, to those who trust and put their faith and trust in the gospel message about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because we know very clearly from Scripture that not everybody is going to be saved and not everybody is going to heaven. But if you think about it, even that faith, even that belief that you have, God gives you that to exercise, Ephesians 2:8 says. It is a gift from God. And let me say this, God never first calls you to behavior, to be a better person, to accept His saving grace. He calls you first to believe. Because our behavior, no matter how good it is, always falls short of the divine standard of perfection and holiness, right? That's what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:15. Let your conduct be in all holiness, like your Father in heaven is holy. It's like what Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And listen, when you break one of God's laws, James says, you have broken them all. And we all fall short of the glory of God, don't we? Our behavior is absolutely meaningless when it comes to salvation. But it means everything after we're saved, because we're saved by His grace through faith, then we become His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's why Paul told the church at Galatia in Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You know, we're going to hear this theme over and over again throughout the book of Romans. And that's when I told you with the introduction to the book of Romans, you want to bring your unsaved family and friends and co-workers and total strangers, because they're going to hear the gospel over and over and over again. The truth of what the Word of God contains that people need to hear. You know, God's salvation, as we saw last time, is offered to everyone. Remember that? Every class of person, to the wise, the unwise, to the Greeks and the barbarians, we saw last time, every group of people can hear the gospel message. And here Paul says that gospel message was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Do you realize that the gospel message was first offered to the nation of Israel, to the Jews, before it was offered to anybody else? Chronologically, that is. And it was offered to them. Really, back in the Old Testament, you know, God chose the nation of Israel to be His peculiar people. And He says, not anything that you had that commended you to me, I just set my love upon you. just like he does for all of us when we're saved. But he chose the nation of Israel. But when the gospel message came about Jesus Christ, Jesus told the woman at the well in John 4:22, it was for them first. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 15:24, I was not sent except to whom? The lost sheep of the house of Israel, right? To them, the Bible says, we're given the oracles of God. To them, Romans 9 verses 4 and 5 says, we're giving all of the promises first. But we know about what they did with that, don't we? As Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, all he had to do was go across the Kidron Valley, go up the other side and have his final time of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples before the soldiers would come and take him away. And one of his final words were, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers a brood under a wing, but you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. That's why the Apostle Paul was sent to the Gentile world, because many of the Jews rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. They rejected their own Messiah. And he says, too bad. But when he died on the cross, he died for them. He died for the Gentiles. He died for the sins of the world. Now, salvation was offered to the Jews first. Then he says it was also offered to the Greeks or every other. You know, in that time, the Greeks were the main society, the main people. And what he's saying is for everybody else, the Gentile world, the gospel was also given. And really, when you look at the Old Testament, it talked about the Gentiles being saved through that message as well, too. The same as in the New Testament. This was God's plan all along, that the gospel message would be given to everyone. It was just given to His chosen people first. And then Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, he says this, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul is saying, in it, in the gospel message, not only is it the power of God, but it is the righteousness of God that is revealed. He says it's the righteousness, your version may say, of God or from God might be a better rendering of that. It's the righteousness of God that's revealed to those who put their faith and trust in the gospel message. And by the way, that word revealed there, it's the Greek word apokalupto. It's where we get our English word apocalypse from. You hear that word quite often nowadays. And that means an unveiling, a making known, a disclosing, or a manifesting. So what the gospel does, it's manifesting, it's God making known, manifesting His righteousness through that gospel message. And is a righteousness given to those who believe the gospel by faith. That's why Paul said in Philippians 3:9 that he didn't want to be found having his own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. And he was a self-righteous guy. Before he came to Christ, he thought he was doing God's bidding. He thought he was going to heaven. He thought he was going to be real close to God and all the things that he was doing. And when he finally came to Christ and the righteousness of Christ was revealed to him, he says, all my righteousness is as filthy rags. I count all that stuff as emptiness so that I can know Christ and His righteousness in my life. Without the righteousness of Jesus Christ, none of us can be reconciled to God on our own. No matter how religious, no matter how good we might be. That's why Jesus told the religious leaders in the presence of everybody else there on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:20, He said this, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you cannot get into the kingdom of heaven. Now for the scribes and the Pharisees and the people to hear that, they would have been shocked. Because the average person looked at the scribes and Pharisees as the religious elite. We can't even touch them, they are so religious. And Jesus comes along and says, listen, you need to be more righteous than them. And it was an indictment to their self-righteousness, is what Jesus was saying there. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:1, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, we receive the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ when we come to faith through that gospel message that had the power to change your heart and soul and life. If you're a born-again believer here this morning, that power was unleashed in your heart and soul as somebody was faithful enough to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you, and you became a new creation. Old things were passed away. All things became new. That's the power of God. That's why Paul's going to say later in Romans chapter 3, I tell Mike this from time to time, and I first of all say, you know, I'm amazed. Then I have to stop and say, I'm not really amazed. I just see how the Holy Spirit works in orchestrating messages and how they come together, because he shared this one as well, too, in Romans chapter 3. It says, but now, in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation or an appeasement by His blood, through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. That's a lot, but what he's saying there is that when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have your sins forgiven, past, present, and future, and you are given Christ's righteousness, so that when God sees you as a born-again believer, He sees you as He sees His own Son, Jesus Christ, as holy and righteous. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That exchange took place. He took your sin and He bore it on the cross. He gave you His righteousness that you don't deserve. But out of His love for you, He gave that to you. And now God sees you as holy and righteous as He does His own Son. So Paul says that this righteousness is from faith to faith. And what he means by that is, when you believe the gospel by faith that was revealed to you at salvation, then that faith on your part is exercised on a daily basis, and it is a growing faith as you live out that faith to faith to faith to faith. You grow and mature in your faith, and you continue to do that. And it expresses itself in different ways in all of our lives, depending where we're at in our maturity in the faith. That's why he quotes Habakkuk 2:4, and he says, the just shall live by faith. He says, you live by that faith. 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 And it's shown every day of your life in different ways, and it continues to grow and grow and grow. And you live by that faith that saved you. Some people say, well, he's talking about faith to faith, meaning your faith given to somebody else that has faith to somebody else. And that's okay too, because that's what happens when you share the gospel. But it's the just shall live by faith. It is a lifelong way of living in the right standing before God. That's what that word just means. Or to be justified, it means to have a right standing before God. You are just before God in your standing, and that was possible through the righteousness of Jesus Christ that was given to you when you put your faith and trust in the gospel message. Now that's a foreign message to what many people hear today, because they're being told, well, if you're just good enough, if your good outweighs your bad, or if you do all of these things, if you're just religious, That's what makes the book of Romans so powerful when it comes to the truth of the gospel message. It's like what Paul said in Colossians 1, verses 22 and 23. When you put your faith and trust in Christ, He is able to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in His sight, if indeed you continue in the faith and you're not moved away from the gospel which you heard. You see, the evidence of somebody being truly born again is that faith that they exercise and live out every day, right? From faith to faith to faith. If you continue in the faith, that's always the evidence. So as we close, my question to you is this. How about you? Have you ever been ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, most, if not all of us, have been. And if you have, do what I do from time to time when I'm ashamed. I fall on my knees and I cry out to God and say, God, I missed an incredible opportunity to share my faith with this person. I pray that You would preserve their life long enough for somebody else to share the gospel when I was ashamed to do so. And then, Father, from this point on, give me the strength and the willingness to share my faith, no matter what I think it's going to cost me. Help me, Father, to have the words that You have given to me that I can give to somebody else that can bring them to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ with that gospel message. Father, help me to be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks the reason of the hope that lies within me with meekness and fear. If you truly believe by faith the gospel of Jesus Christ, do you believe in His death, burial, and resurrection for you specifically because you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and the wages of your sin is death? You and I deserve hell and death for all eternity. But God demonstrated His own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you have received Christ by faith after you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you have received His righteousness that allows you to have that kind of a standing that you are above reproach in God's sight, that you are perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect in your standing before God, because you're not perfect. None of us are. We won't be that way this side of heaven, but we are seen that way this side of heaven by God because we have Christ's righteousness that makes that possible. And if you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you are living by faith to faith to faith every single day, persevering through all the trials and temptations of life, exhibiting that faith in Christ that continues on no matter what, building on your most holy faith, then this table is for you. And we want to invite you to come to this table to partake and to remember what Christ has done for you in giving His life on the cross, shedding His blood, because without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. And we receive that forgiveness by faith when we trust Christ and we get His righteousness that we don't deserve. And that's the kind of standing we have before God. And that's the kind of way He wants us to live in our lives, to live in righteousness and holiness. Like Mike was sharing in Sunday school, we are called saints. We looked at that last week. You are a saint in God's sight, so live like it. Live in holiness and righteousness. Live separated from sin, separated unto God. That's what we're called to do. And we remember all that as we come to the table. If you've never been born again, then this table is not for you. The greatest need that you have is to be born again. And it's only through the power of God, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, by somebody faithful enough to share that with you, that will bring you to a place of saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you something. No encounter with an unbeliever is by accident, right? God is absolutely holy and just and sovereign in every moment of our lives. It's just sometimes we don't take advantage of those, do we? In those times when we're ashamed, we have to call out to Him and ask for His mercy and grace to give us the strength to not be so ashamed next time. And then to do what God calls us to do. And trust Him to plant the seed, water the seed, and at His timing, to give the increase. Let's pray.